Second hour of the Mike McFeely Show kicks off here on the Mighty 790 KFGO. We're going to talk a little bit later in the program. Never did get a hold of Tom Bach, by the way. We'll have to see if he's available tomorrow, but I'll call the senator and see what's going on. But didn't get him on. We'll shoot for tomorrow to get the state Senate majority leader from St. Paul or from Minnesota on the program. But we'll talk later in the program with the Senate minority leader from South Dakota, Jason Frerichs, who's in Pierre right now, and all kinds of stuff happening in the South Dakota capital, where apparently winter's not far away from Pierre, so Pierre must be 60 degrees right now. So we'll find out from Senator Frerichs about that. We're going to spend this half hour, though, talking about something that's all over the television sets in the studio here at KFGO, and that is that Ukraine, a nation formerly under the auspices of the Soviet Union, of the Soviet Empire, is literally on fire. As I'm watching on my television screen right now, there is violence in Ukraine in the capital city of Kiev. And President Obama today came out and said, of course, knock it off. I'm going to keep an eye on you. You better not overstep your bounds, government, or by God, we're going to really get serious with some sanctions or something against you. To talk more about this, and the guy that we always call on because he knows what the heck's going on in the world outside of the Red River Valley far more than most of us do is Dr. Thomas Ambrosio, a professor of political science at North Dakota State. Hello, professor. How are you?
Great. Thanks for having me here.
Is your mother listening in Florida right now?
She is,
you
of course.
Always tell you. You say hi to your mom right now.
Hi, Mom.
There you go. And by the way, Mom, you're not my mom, you're his mom, but Pinto and I will be in Florida later this week. We're going to be in Fort Myers. I don't know where you are, but if you're near the Twin Spring Training Facility in Fort Myers, stop on by and I'll buy you a Coke or something at the Spring Training Facility. What the heck's going on in Ukraine? First of all, what's going on? And the second question is, why do I care in Fargo, North Dakota?
Yeah, let's start off with what's going on. Basically, what's happening is that we've had this larger problem going on in Ukraine that came to a head in November and has really exploded over the last couple of days. Essentially, Ukraine is a divided nation or a divided country between two directions. One, in the western part of the country, they want to be part of Europe. They see themselves as Ukrainians. People in the eastern part of the country, in the southern part of the country, want to be part of Russia. And they are ethnic Russians and they speak Russian. So what we had in late November was that the president of Ukraine, Viktor Yanukovych, was going to sign an association agreement with the EU. This would shift Ukraine westward, so to Europe. And at the very last minute, he said, we're not going to sign it. And instead, we're going to sign an agreement with Russia. The Russians also paid about $15 billion.
Well, that'll sway you.
It's in kind of loans, and also they were cracking down on trade and really putting the screws to both Ukraine generally and then Yanukovych in particular. So then when that happened, essentially the Ukrainians who want to be part of Europe start going out and protesting. And things have been going on again for months, and they weathered the horrible cold there in Ukraine. And then over the last couple of days, things really exploded, in particular when the parliament would not allow discussion about reducing the president's powers. So now what we're seeing on TV right now is this, the entire Independence Square, there's fires lit all around it in order to protect the protesters against the police. The police have stormed it a couple times. About 25 people have been killed so far. Molotov cocktails going over at the police. Live ammunition supposedly being used against protesters. The whole nine yards. Whole nine yards in Ukraine.
So things are not good. Are not good in Ukraine right now. So just to be clear, the protesters, Just to draw the lines of delineation, the protesters want what and the government wants what?
The protesters want two things. One is they want democracy. And the current president, it has been moving the country towards a dictatorship underneath him. Even though he was popularly elected, he's kind of an autocrat in his heart. Also, they want to become part of Europe. And they want to not necessarily join the EU right off the bat, but have the country shift that way. And then the people who are against it are the ones that want Ukraine to be still part of Russia.
Okay. So as somebody here in Fargo, and this is the question we have to ask, is, okay, mm-hmm. so if the Ukraine is blowing up right now, How does it affect me? What's going to happen here that might affect Mike McFeely, the selfish American that I am, the ugly American that I am? I'm not patriotic enough because I don't care about the hockey team winning or losing. And I want to know why the Ukraine or why Ukraine matters to me.
Well, I think it matters in a larger sense, maybe not directly to us here in North Dakota, but like a lot of these issues, it matters for America as a whole in terms of how our position goes forward in the international system. So with Ukraine shifting towards Russia, Russia becomes more powerful to become a larger player in the international system. There's a quote by a former national security advisor that says, without Ukraine, Russia can never be an empire. But with Ukraine, Russia can never be a normal country.
Ukraine is that important in the whole scheme of things in the world?
It is. Mentally, I think in terms of their identity, it's the heart of Russian civilization. The idea of Ukraine being a separate country is unthinkable to many Russians, especially to Vladimir Putin, who once most recently said this something to President Obama like, oh, they're not even a real country anyway. They should just be part of Russia. So it basically would make America's life more difficult internationally. And we're already seeing America kind of pulling back internationally, and that's creating problems for us in the Middle East, in Asia, and now we're having problems in Europe. So it's just another part of this larger trend where America is no longer the dominant player. And we're going to have to get used to kind of a new world order in which a lot of countries are a lot more powerful than they used to be.
So when you say the United States is not the dominant player, did you just say that?
Yeah, we're still the most economically powerful
nation on Earth, correct?
Yes, we're still the dominant player. But
we still have the most nuclear weapons, right?
We're a lot less dominant than we used to be.
Okay.
So situation in the Middle East, we're starting to no longer be able to control things or at least even sway things in our direction. Asia, you're having a rising China that's creating problems for us. I mean, America's still powerful. It's just that it's not the 90s anymore.
Well, yeah.
We're at the top of our game.
We have a lot less influence, which leads to domination, because for most of our adult lives, if we wanted something to happen in another part of the world, it happened.
It happened.
We would somehow find a way to get rid of a dictator here or elect somebody there. And you're saying that we're not anywhere near that point anymore.
We're finding that over time we're not going to be there. I mean, we're still the most powerful country, but it's all relative. So Russia's kind of back. I mean, Russia has been very good at playing a weak hand all their history, but they're getting even better at it. And we saw that in Syria, in terms of essentially Russia undermining U.S. policy. So I think this is just kind of another indication of the larger trends. And also it does have to do with where the power is in Europe. Is it towards democracy or is it towards dictatorship? And if Yanukovych wins, it goes towards dictatorship.
If you have a question or comment or anything that's on your mind regarding Ukraine or anything else that's blowing up in the world today, we have our fireman on the program today, Dr. Thomas Ambrosio. Give him a call, 237-5948 or 800-880-5346. Or you can shoot us a text message at 35270. Please include the word Mike so I know it is directed at me. So then the big question then, Tom, is then when Obama comes out and says, like he always does, like he has to, he says, knock it off. You have to let these people protest and stop shooting people. What are we going to do about it? What truly can we do about it?
There's very little we can do about it. I mean, our relationship with Russia is more than Ukraine. We have a lot of other issues going on with Russia. But it does have a real reversal to our foreign policy under Obama, which was to have a reset with Russia. That once Bush was gone, we would basically have this positive relationship with Russia. And we've seen that hasn't really played out. So I think this is, again, part of that larger trend within Obama administration's policy of kind of reversing their initial optimism. It also has hurt our relationship with Europe in some ways. One of the assistant secretaries of state had a leaked conversation with another counterpart in which she used something you can't repeat on the radio about the European Union. And that came out, which was not very good. So that's, again, you know, of course, you know, these things happen, but the Europeans weren't happy with us at that as well. Of course, they were our most important allies.
Europeans are never really happy with us anyway. Even though we won two world wars for them, they've never really felt that much respect for the United States of America.
No, but when you tell them that, you know, blah, 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 the EU, maybe that doesn't make them feel any better towards you.
Maybe the truth. Let's go to Chuck in Fargo. Chuck has a comment for Thomas Ambrosio. Yeah, go ahead.
You're talking about the Ukraine. One way that it in addition to what the doctor's talking about as far as affecting us here, there are companies, ag manufacturers of farm equipment in eastern North Dakota that ship a lot of farm equipment to the Ukraine. And I just wondered if you could maybe comment on that, how that might be affected.
Sure. With Ukraine shifting more towards the east, they're going to create this kind of free trade zone with Russia. And Russia's going to be pressuring Ukraine to start buying Russian farm equipment rather than American farm equipment. So I guess it would have that kind of limited effect in Fargo, an indirect effect. But certainly the closer Ukraine is to Russia, the less you're going to be buying our stuff and be kind of forced to buy Russian products.
Need to take a break. 237-5948 or 800-880-5346. It's a great comment, Chuck. Thanks for that question. Thanks. I forget, because I'm a knucklehead, that we're in this global economy right now, that it's all globalization, and products we make and grow in eastern North Dakota or western Minnesota, they don't just go to New York or Atlanta, Georgia anymore. They go to Kiev and Moscow and many other places in the world. So great comment by Chuck. Dr. Thomas Ambrosio, North Dakota State political science professor, our international expert, is in studio with us, taking your questions and phone calls about Ukraine and the uprising there. Let's go to Lance in Fergus Falls. Hello, Lance. How are you?
We're seeing unrest happening in the Ukraine, in Venezuela, in Thailand. We saw it happen in Egypt, in other places in the Middle East. It seems like the unrest has been present for a long time, but social media is now that missing ingredient, which is allowing these masses to communicate and come together. Is that the right assessment?
I think it definitely is, in terms of helping people organize. So it's easier for especially younger people who are connected in one way or another to organize, to deploy individuals to certain places, to give warnings, and also to simply get their message out. And we're certainly seeing a lot more video. I was watching in my office live video, and then also other people doing kind of their own cell phone videos. And they're just loading it up on their Facebook or on Twitter or something like that. So I think that's helping in terms of organization. The problem is being able to translate that organizational capacity to actually changing things. So it's easy to get people to rally, but it's much harder, as you saw, especially like some place like Egypt, where there's this new documentary about the square and getting people together and how social media helped, but they were not able to translate their views into reality. And their revolution got hijacked. So we're seeing that in other cases as well. Egypt's a great example. And it very well could happen in Ukraine as well, in which people are able to mobilize, but ultimately comes down to who's willing to be the last person shooting, essentially. The person who's there willing to use force. And it seems like the government's willing to do that. And
that's what I was going to say. Lance, thanks for the phone call. What I was going to say is, you can sit behind your computer or on your smartphone all day and send out tweets and start a Facebook page, but if the other side has grenades and machine guns and tanks, they're probably going to outweigh guys with smartphones and Twitter.
It is true. And they, you know, the people who are willing to use force will in many ways win, though it's interesting, in Ukraine you're starting to see the protesters creating their own essentially militias. So you've seen the Molotov cocktails, there's been some shooting. There has been grenades as well, kind of being thrown here and there. And then actually some of the greatest kind of pictures were older people breaking up cobblestone streets in order to get the rocks so that people could throw them at the police.
So if you're a dictator in the year 2014, what are your thoughts of the whole internet phenomenon here? Because of course, right. You know, if you're Joseph Stalin or if you're, you know, Lenin, part of what you did was you instilled fear in people, made sure that they did not gather and talk about an uprising. They did not gather and talk about how crappy their lives were. But with the internet, you can do those things and not even be in the same place at the same time.
Right, you know? Right. And dictators have really been focusing a lot on controlling this information. So China has what's sometimes called an intranet instead of an internet. It's all controlled by the Chinese regime. So they basically can eliminate or censor information that goes to their people. So you're seeing a lot of that, of censorship and trying to restrict the ability of people to get information in a lot of these regimes. But it's tough. With satellites and things of that nature, you can't stop that necessarily.
And I was making somewhat light of the fact that if you have a gun or a grenade, you're always going to have an advantage over somebody with a computer. But there is something to be said, because part of the fascination of the internet is I could be sitting here thinking, you know, I must be the only person in the world who's interested in the 1968 version of the Schmidt beer can. I'm the only, and then you put it out there on the internet and you find out, oh, wait a second. There's 10,000 other people who care about that. And that's one of the powers of the internet is if you're sitting in Ukraine going, God, I just wish we could start an uprising.
And people are going to do
people
it.
People are going to do
you
it.
You have these entrepreneurs, essentially political entrepreneurs who are the ones who are creating the organization, and people go out and do it. And also in terms of the organization in the main independent square in Kiev, it's been amazing. They have triage stations. They have food, restroom facilities that they're there for the long haul. And it's going to be basically who wants it more. Does the government want their dictatorship and Russia more than the people want democracy and becoming part of Europe?
Nate in Fargo. Nate, you're on with Dr. Thomas Ambrosio. Go ahead.
Hello, doctor.
Hello.
I have also noticed that a lot of these uprisings, I mean, there's been uprisings, let's go since 2002. Iraq, Afghanistan, Venezuela, 2002, Haiti, 2004, Gaza Strip, 2006, Somalia, 2006, Libya, 2011.
Nate, I hate to cut you off, but you have 1 minute left, so please ask a quick question.
Well, my comment is quick. And isn't it fair to say with the ones going on now, the American people in the world and the EU, we're actually starting to realize that maybe it's probably the CIA that starts a lot of these coups to try to get more foreign relations?
Certainly that's what the Russians would say.
30 seconds.
But in fact, what we're seeing is kind of the people in some ways against being willing to mobilize and the people kind of against, in some cases, democracy, because Yanukovych was democratically elected. And he decided not to sign this treaty, which was in his powers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of, in some ways, underneath this is kind of a rejection of the democratic process, for good or for bad, but it's kind of this kind of new populism that we're seeing.
Doctor, thank you. Thanks for dropping by as always. And again, let's talk about a happy happenstance sometime. Can we do that?
Like when the Americans win the gold medal
those,
in hockey.
When they beat those dastardly Canadians on Friday, we'll have you back. Thank you, Doctor. Appreciate it.